Ephesians 5, verses 12 through 19. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of the one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous.
There is no doubt our world has been messed up by sin. There is no doubt that the sin has consequences in this world that we don't like. There's no doubt that that sin has caused a separation between us and God. And there's no doubt that God could not allow it to stay that way. You see, sin was brought into this world by the act of one person. And as sin came into this world, it did affect this world. Through that one act in the Garden of Eden came sin, death, and separation from God. Sin, death, and separation from God. Now, I know many of you probably have never considered this, but death is grace. Death is God's grace. You see, as sin came into this world, Adam and Eve were to live forever. And God did not want humanity to live in that state forever. And that's why they were put out of the Garden of Eden, so that they would not eat from the tree of eternal life and thus be in that place for the rest of their lives. You see, sin has caused a large separation. And what Paul is saying here, I know is probably as you heard and saw the words, you were like, what is Paul saying? Paul would not do so well in a freshman English class, because Paul loves to write run-on sentences. And Paul loves to write, oh, let me tell you about this. Well, and except this and this and this and this. Oh, let me get back to my main point here. And Paul continues on and on, and it can be very confusing for us. But you see, the very first thing that he said is it was by the act of one that sin, death, and separation from God was brought into this world. Because God cannot look upon sin and have a relationship with sin. And Scripture tells us time and time again that that sin has caused a division, a separation between us and God. The world has not changed. I know somebody afterwards will come to me and tell me that the world is getting worse and worse and worse. But I believe what Scripture says. Once sin came in at the Garden of Eden, it couldn't get any worser. It couldn't get any badder. Separation from God is separation from God. There's not degrees of that. You see, we've inherited that same world. This is the same world we live in now with sin separating us from God. It's the same world. Solomon also writes in the book of Ecclesiastes that there is nothing new in the world. There's nothing new. One of my favorite quotes, especially when people tell me that things are getting worse, I'm going to paraphrase it because it goes kind of like this. The state of the world today is that young kids don't know how to pay attention to their elders. The young kids can't follow directions and they have no respect for their elders. You want to know when that was written? That was written before the birth of Christ. It was not written currently in the newspaper. Although somebody will say, yeah, it was. Things have not changed. We live in the same world that their sin is causing this separation between us and God. And sin also causes a separation between me and you and you and me. One of the things that I question time and time and time again, and I don't understand. So this is just an extra piece of advice for you today. How about that? We have problems with one another. And people love to come and tell someone else the problems they have with someone else. And very rarely are they willing to go to the person they have a problem with and explain why there's a problem. I know it happens to you. People come to me all the time and say, Pastor, let me tell you about... And what's behind those words is, Pastor, you need to go talk to him and get him straight. People may not come out and say it, but that's what they're saying. Pastor, it's your job to go get them straight. You're the shepherd of the flock. And I want to say, no, it's your job to go tell them there's a problem. Not to come and tell me that something needs to be fixed. Go and talk to that person. I know many people that do that. Many people that do that. You see, sin has caused such a separation in relationships, and it's in the midst of our world in such a way that we just accept it and go on and live with it. What I want to tell you is that we don't have to. You see, because God would not allow this to continue with us separated from a relationship with God. God would not allow this to continue with us, separated from a relationship with God. God would not allow it to happen. It hurt God so much that God said, I will change this. I will take the necessary steps. I will make sure that this relationship can be restored that was lost at the Garden of Eden, that still exists in the midst of our world today. But God said, I will fix this. Folks, we can't. God said, I will fix this with the life of my own son. What's an incredibly hard thing for me to do sometimes? Is to break this loaf of bread. Because it makes me realize that the Son of God had to be broken so that I could have a relationship with God. That's why I continue to use one loaf of bread as a symbol. I learned from one of my seminary professors, even with that little cracker, that little piece of bread that you get, I never put it in my mouth without breaking it. I need the reminder of what God has done for me and what God said, in that I will not allow you to forever be separated from me. You can't do anything about it, but God did. And sometimes we need to be reminded of the harshness of what did happen so that we could have a relationship with God. You see, that's the second part of what Paul talks about here. The second part of what Paul talks about is that Jesus is the one who set that straight. Christ came to provide justification for us and to give us the free gift of eternal life. The free gift. There's nothing we can do to accept this except just accept it. There's nothing we can do. It is the very righteousness of Jesus Christ that God takes and places upon us and says to us, now you are righteous. It's as though we've put on the clothes of Christ and have worn them, and God looks upon us and says, all I see now is a forgiven individual who can have a relationship with me. You see, sin was brought into this world by the act of one man. The opportunity for you not to live under the bondage of sin was made possible by the act of one man. One man brought sin into this world that has affected this world in tremendous ways and continues to affect this world in tremendous ways. And one man came into this world so that we could have a free gift of eternal life. And so many folks never accept this gift. And so many church folks never give people the opportunity to accept the gift. Because we don't tell them about it. We don't tell them what Jesus Christ did. You don't have to know the Bible from the beginning to the end All you have to know is the part of the story that God taught you. That's what people need to hear. They need to hear that small part that you know. That yes, Jesus Christ came and sacrificed for me and made a difference so that I could have a relationship with God and I could live in the midst of this world with happiness and joy. Even though this world continues to be affected by sin, people need to know about this loaf of bread and this cup. People need to know about what difference it made in your lives. You see, Lent's a time for me to look at myself and notice where I'm not being the person that God's asking me to be. Where I'm not doing the things that God's asking me to do. And to come to God and say, I need the righteousness of Jesus Christ put upon me so that I can live the life you're asking me to live. It's hard. It's tough. It's difficult. It's not what we consider humanly natural. Folks, I'm convinced that most people already know that they're sinners. Most people already know that. There's not a need for me to tell them. But there is a need for me to tell them what Jesus did for them. Because not everybody knows that. I've said at the deathbed of many a folk, even church folks that have been in church for 20, 30, 40, 50 years often look at me and say, I hope God will accept me into heaven. And I say, what do you mean you hope? How long have you been in church? How long have you studied about Jesus Christ? And you look at me and you say, you hope? And the way they say that is not, I hope in the way that I know God will accept me because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. They say it as a wish. Folks, sin has affected this world and it has affected our relationship with God. But God has provided a way to fix that relationship. And it's during Lent that I can come and say, God, I know I've messed up. I know I've made a mistake. I learned a prayer a long time ago from a comedy show that I used to watch. It's a comedy show called Red Green. It's from Canada. It's different. Just a little bit different. They have a lodge. You know how we have here, we got a moose lodge, and you've probably heard of Elk's Lodge and all that. Well, their lodge is the Possum Lodge. And their motto is, Quando omni fluncus moritate. Which means, when all else fails, play dead. And they start their lodge meetings with that. By the way, the lodge meeting doesn't start until the end credits are rolling, by the way. I'll let you go watch it sometime and figure out why. If you can't find it, let me know. I got plenty of DVDs that you can watch. But they say a prayer right after they say the motto that I think maybe we ought to borrow. You see, it's a men's lodge. I'm sorry, ladies. It's a men's lodge, okay? Ladies are not invited. And right after they say the motto, they say the men's prayer. All bow your heads and let's say the men's prayer. I'm a man. I can change. If I have to, I guess. What if we were to borrow that prayer? I'm a sinner. I can change. If I have to, I guess. For you see, all I have to do is accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I now have a relationship with God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I'm a sinner. I can change. I have to. If I have to, I guess. Are you willing to make that change? Are you willing during this time of Lent to accept the free gift of Jesus Christ in a deeper way? Allowing the righteousness of Christ to cover your transgressions? Are you willing to do that? For you see, Paul says that's what Christ came for. Have you accepted this free gift, allowing the righteousness of Christ to cover your transgressions? And I'll take it one step further. Have you helped somebody else to do it? Do you have a spiritual child that you have helped to accept the free gift of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Lord, we know about sin. And truly, we have allowed sin to affect so many things in our lives. And sometimes we continue to allow that to happen when you've sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to rectify all of that. And that all we have to do is choose Christ and accept the free gift, allowing the righteousness of Christ to be put upon us. And then all we have to do is live in the midst of that and help others to see the same thing. Lord, help us during this time of Lent to know that it's not possible with our works, with our ways, with our ideas, with our programs to make this relationship right. It's only possible when you have done it. So Lord, as we approach this table and as we come to this table to accept once again the symbols of a free gift that you have given us, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to truly consider deeply your cost in this, to give us a free gift, so that we might not have to live under the bondage of sin any longer. Lord, help us, please. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.